I want to talk to you about Lear Capital. I was in South Carolina last night giving a speech and talking to some really great Freedom Caucus people who are really standing for the Constitution in the State House. Things are in we are in trouble all across the country, and we need to start standing up for things that make sense. And one of the things that doesn't make sense is our spending. It is out of control. The price of gold, they're now talking about going over $3,000, $3,500. That is crazy. It's up over $2,000 now. Please protect your dollar. Protect your wealth. Your dollar is losing money every day. 800-889-3070. 800-889-3070. It's Lear Capital. Call them today. To the Glenn Beck program. Things are a little out of control. Who would have seen it coming? Who would have seen it coming in the campuses all around the country? Do not dismiss these as foolish students. We've seen this movie before. In fact, we've seen this movie at Columbia University in the 1930s. I'll give you a little bit of the history coming up in just a second. First, it's hard to know what you need to feed your dog these days. You walk down the dog food aisle, you see 100 different types. Although most of them are just variations of the same thing, the majority of dog food is kibble food, and it has had all of the healthy stuff cooked out, so it has a, you know, 2.5, 2-year shelf life. You don't want that for your dog. Your dog needs all the same healthy stuff that you need. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega oils, and I hate to say it, the green stuff. You know the drill. That's why there's Ruff Greens, RUFFGreens.com. If you go there now, you'll get your first trial bag free. They just want you to make sure that your dog loves it as much as Uno and Stu's dogs do. It is free bag. It's a trial bag. You just pay for shipping. You call 833-GLENN33, 833-GLEN33. It's roughgreens.com/Beck. Well, hello, Stu. How are you?
Wonderful, Glenn, yourself. Oh, I mean, things are going so well. How could I be anything other than wonderful?
Amen, brother. Amen to that. Can't imagine, you know, things getting any better, especially at Columbia University.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting my tent out. Mm-hmm. Going to drive on up.
Yeah.
Getting that tent city. Huh. Lots of good stuff going on. Yeah. Been looking to get sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
Well, so at any time, I can get that done.
I do want to say that, you know, the sexual assault thing is, you know, fine. But it's that's a part of life. Okay.
I
learned from the president that why focus on the negative? Here's President Biden about what's going on in Columbia University yesterday.
Anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way. I didn't know that.
Wait a minute. Hang on. I think what I heard here was... you know, there's fine people on both sides.
Very fine.
Yeah, very.
I would call them very fine.
Very
Glenn.
Fine people mm-hmm. on both sides. It's almost like what happened with Donald Trump, except when Donald Trump said that, he was a Nazi. He was a Nazi sympathizer. He was reaching out to the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
nowhere is do I read that how he's a Nazi, how Biden is a Nazi for saying the same thing about the same kind of people that were calling for the death of Jews.
It really is fascinating. You pointed this out just before we came on the air, and I can't believe the parallels. It's exactly the same thing.
It is.
It's just the left-wing version. And I listened to tons of coverage on this and watched and read a bunch of coverage on this over the past 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And now that I think of it, the entire tone of the coverage was they're very fine people on both sides.
They're very fine people on both sides.
It was like, oh, yes, yeah, so, you know, yes, some of these Jewish students have been walking down the street and being attacked. And you know, one woman said that she was trying to go to class and someone came up to her with a sign that said, we hope Hamas comes here next.
Oh,
and okay. And then they went to a protester on the Palestinian side who said, look, we know there's been some bad incidents, but we're just here peacefully protesting.
You know, amen, brother.
There's no
Thank
question
you.
As to whether that was appropriate to do.
Right.
To cover, because I don't remember on, let's say, during Charlottesville, when they found people in the crowd who were like, I don't know what these nut jobs with the tiki torches are. I'm just here for the statue thing.
There's another case like that comes to mind now.
Really?
It wasn't just Charlottesville. It was, what was
thinking,
that?
Thinking, calculating.
January 6th.
Oh, yeah.
I never heard anybody say, well, yeah, but there were some grandmothers in there and some nice people there, and that's not what they were doing. There were some really bad people there. We should condemn them, but not the others. I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember that either.
Huh.
There's, 100,000 people at the speech, and all of them seem to be painted with the very broad stroke.
That's
that they're
weird.
Awful.
Yeah. You know who does that? You know who used to do that? Who used to love to do that?
Yeah.
Hitler.
Oh.
Yeah, he used to do that all the time.
Went right to Hitler.
We went right to Hitler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because seemingly his ideals are living on today. And seemingly in all these protests.
I'm not going to tolerate anymore is people saying, oh, you know, you're bringing up Hitler. Of course, you're going right to Hitler. Yeah. Because you're saying exactly the same things that Hitler said.
You are basically quoting Mein Kampf at every one of these protests. So
absolutely.
It's not that crazy.
Absolutely.
That's a fascinating one.
By the way, I hope Hamas comes here. What do you mean by that? You want the rape? You want the killing, the slaughtering, the burning of children, the chopping off of heads?
Well, we heard.
Is that what you're looking for?
Just yesterday long live October 7th. Maybe they just had something else going on that day on October 7th. We don't know.
You know what?
It could be anything.
I think the press should find out, because I think they could find somebody that said, no, we were just talking about that wonderful, wonderful concert that was happening.
There you go. It could have been the music.
Because there was good things that day.
Right.
And some bad things.
And a couple bad things.
Right.
Yeah, a couple thousand bad things. Yeah.
You know what this looks like at Columbia University? First of all, can I just play the very, this guy was locked out of Columbia. He's an associate professor, and he was locked out from the campus because they were afraid, you know, it would get out of hand. So he was just standing on the street in front of Columbia, and he was speaking. And I just want you to hear what he had to say, because it's very radical.
Okay.
Very radical.
I know you're afraid, and I know you're afraid to Donald Trump. Bravery is not being afraid. Bravery is showing up when you're afraid. That's what courage is about, showing up. And you all showed up, and you will keep showing up. And next time you show up, bring two friends, bring five friends, bring 10 friends, Jewish and non-Jewish friends. We need to make the world understand that being Jewish in public is a safe thing. And it shouldn't be something that's contested. We are not fighting just for the Jews. We are fighting for everyone. We are fighting for the rights of African Americans. We are fighting for the rights of Hispanics. We are fighting for the rights of women and LGBTQ and the trans community. We are fighting for everyone. Because it always starts with the Jews and it never ends with the Jews. So I am here for all of you.
Well, you can see why Columbia University locked him out of they deactivated his key card so he couldn't get back into the university, because he's an extremist, clearly.
The hatred.
But don't just take that as the entire movement. because there's some very fine people on the other side as well. Let me take you way back into the time machine of 1933, New York City. In 1933, Hitler is come to power. The Nazis begin taking Jewish students and expelling them, dismissing the Jewish professors from their universities. You're not German enough. And the campuses across Germany, Nazis and their sympathizers, they start burning the books, you know, written by Jews and perceived enemies, including, it was weird, on that list of books to burn was a book by a Columbia professor, an anthropologist named Frank Boas, but he was Jewish. So they had on their list to make sure they burn his books in the universities in Berlin. Now, just months after the first book burnings, Columbia had a president, Nicholas Murray Butler. He welcomed Hans Luther in. He was the German ambassador to the United States. And he said, you got to come to Morning Heights. I mean, you guys, you crazy cats over there, you're being misunderstood. You got to come over here. And then he told all of the students at Columbia, you respect him. He deserves the greatest courtesy and respect. And so now at the same time Columbia was doing this, Cambridge, the dean of the Harvard Law School, he accepted an honorary degree from the University of Berlin. He was there over in 1934 and he returns from a trip and he got that special honor from Berlin. And he came back to assure people there is no persecution of Jewish scholars or of Jews happening in Germany. You know, for those Jews who have lived in Germany for any length of time. That's an odd thing to say. Butler, back at Columbia, responded because there was some criticism on campus, the Spectator, and other student groups. He had to respond to. He emphasized that Columbia's relationships with the German universities, strictly academic, no political implications at all. And he then mocked the protests that were standing up against the university saying, hey, you know, there's bad things happening with Jews. And he's like, this is just academic. This is we have nothing to do with any of the spooky stuff from the Nazis. And then he said, quote, may we next expect to be told that we should not read Goethe's Faust? Or listen to Wagner's Ring Cycle? Or study the picture galleries at Dresden? Because we so heartily disapprove of the present form of government in Germany? Now, by the way, he was a longtime admirer of Benito Mussolini as well. In 1934, he fired Jerome Klein. That's a weird name, isn't it? Klein? Hmm. You know what I'm saying, right?
Hmm.
So we know why he was fired. He was a young member of the fine arts faculty, and he signed an appeal against the Luther invitation, and he was fired. Also, Robert Burke, a Columbia College student, he was expelled because he was participating in a 1936 mock book burning, an anti-Nazi picket on campus. So you couldn't picket the Nazis, you know, but you could go to the big rally at Madison Square Garden held by the Nazis. They loved that. That was great. So what I think I'm trying to say is, why are we surprised? Why are we surprised? Harvard was disturbing as well. There was a warm welcome extended to Ernst Hoffenstegel.
Ernst Hoffenstegel here, yeah.
He came to the commencement in 1934. He was a Nazi leader, good close personal friend of Hitler. And Harvard. Well, a lot of people were like, "Hey, Mr. Hoffenstegel, maybe shouldn't be here, yeah."
Harvard, they loved it. The students loved it. The faculty, they were delighted.
In fact, the president of Harvard wrote, it's truly shameful. It's truly shameful that the most prestigious, prominent university is coming under attack, you know, for this. Now, they're just trying to influence young minds. And, you know, we're not for the Germans. But we're not for the Germans either.
Right? Isn't that right, Mr. Hofstadter?
Here's the problem. I can't believe in 2008, I said several times, the hatreds of the past that we saw in the 1930s are going to come back with a vengeance. We are going to see the same things that happened in Europe in the 1930s happening on our streets. And if we don't stand up and stop it, if we don't choose to never forget, never again is the promise we made to each other, we're going to make the Nazis, with our technology, we will make the Nazis look like rookies. It's up to America now to decide. I personally think I haven't spoken to Mr. Hofstadter, but I personally think Jesus is coming. Kind of soon, probably.
Glenn, there are very fine Hofstadters on both sides.
On both sides?
Yes,
really?
On both sides.
So there were the kill the Jews Hofstadters. And then the Hofstadters.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
You got it.
All right, good.
You're a historian. You
yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So I would just say that maybe we should make a choice. I'll make that really clear for people in 60 seconds. Hang on just a second. First, do you see that the numbers that came out on how many abortions Planned Parenthood did last year?
Yeah. Wasn't a low number.
Wasn't in a low number. And it's and they're very proud of that. But they can do better. They can this year. We can break that record and kill even more babies. It's wonderful. Now, the way to do stop that would be to protest or drive around in your fetus truck or whatever. I mean, at least you're out there pitching. No offense, but I don't think it's the most effective form of changing people's mind. What is actually listening to the mothers. Most of these mothers are afraid. They are powerfully alone. Everyone in their life is telling them to abort the child. Everybody in their life is saying it's not really a child at this point. If you go into a preborn, you're a future mother, and you go into a preborn, they'll give you a free ultrasound because of somebody like you. They're $28 a piece. And when they show the mom with a free ultrasound, the baby, and she hears the heartbeat, she doubles the chances. That's doubling the chances that mom picks life. Then they just talk to her about, you know, you're not alone. We're here for the first 2 years of the baby's life, for you and the baby. That's how we change things, being more Christ-like. Dial #250, say the keyword baby, #250, keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Beck. I don't know what Mr. Hofstadter says. He probably says, kill the baby. I think you should just hit #250, keyword baby. Maybe give to preborn.com/Beck, sponsored by Preborn. 10 seconds, station ID. Yeah. Okay, so just got this out of the museum. I'll describe it for you, for those of you who are, or maybe I'll have Stu describe it for you. If you happen to be watching the blaze, you can see that it is, what, Stu? Oh, you're moving the candle. You don't want it to burn? Yeah. Flag lover. You know what that is?
I mean, it looks like I've seen that flag on the back of a pickup truck. Am I?
Yeah. It's from Syria. Mm-hmm. It's an ISIS flag. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I brought it in today because, I don't know, maybe we should hang it up behind us because I'm seeing a lot of these on the streets of America now. I'm seeing these black flags flying, which is, of course, everybody on the left knows those are, this is the people that want to take care of moms and their children. They love each other. They're preaching tolerance. They love the Jews. And I'm thinking, you know, if we have people on the streets here in America that are closing things down and becoming more and more violent, sure, there's some good people mixed in there holding the flag, but I think we should be concerned. I think we should take a stand. I think we should, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there. Where's the church leadership? Where's the Martin Luther King? Where are you? Where are you? Come on. I know you're out there someplace. You're probably going, no, it's not me. Yeah, probably is. You know, Martin Luther King didn't want to do it either. But he was talked into it. I think God can be pretty persuasive. I know you're afraid. I know what this means. You know what this means. But as the Jewish professor said a little while ago, courage, what courage is you're not a hero because you stand up and I'm unafraid. These people, I've read their stories. They were all freaked out of their mind. Martin Luther King knew what was coming. Courage, what makes a hero, is standing up in spite of your fear, knowing that there is something more important than your life the way you had it planned. There is something more important than your job. If you're not doing something today that has eternal ramifications, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? To survive? What? This world, the way it's going?
I mean, we do have the Hoffenschnagel family. Yeah, we can have them come by. Maybe they'll play something on that big Ricola horn.
You know what that means. Glenn Beck. All right. The war in Israel isn't looking like it's about to end anytime soon. Between the direct conflict that they're facing with Iran and the proxy conflict Iran is having with them through Hamas and Hezbollah. And by the way, our State Department came out yesterday. I think this was very supportive and said, yeah, I believe there's evidence of crimes against humanity. I think there's something going on there. Our state. Anyway, would you like to stand on the right side?
Of course I do, yeah.
I would like you to reach out to the IFCJ. That is the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. These are the people that are standing together, no matter what their faith, because they know never again is now. We're trying to buy a whole bunch of shelters for the bus stops where, you know, people get on the bus to go to work or their kids are going to school at the bus stops. They need a buttload of them over in Israel. You can help. Please give. Go to supportifcj.org. Supportifcj.org. Take a stand.
And head over to blazetv.com/Glenn. Join Blaze TV. Use the code SECURE2024 for $30 off your subscription to Blaze TV.
You know, what's really encouraging is I was in South Carolina last night, flew out to give a speech, and I was with some great people that are supporting people like the Freedom Caucus. And by the way, if you have a Freedom Caucus in your state, support them. But what I come back with is a message of real hope that I got from the audience and talking to people there. The people who are awake are wide awake. They know what time it is. Pat just walked in, Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed. And Pat just walked in and he said, isn't it weird that we're back here again? We're repeating the past.
It's like 1937,
right?
With the anti-Semitism again.
And we knew this was coming. Pat, how long have we been talking about this?
A long time.
We knew this was coming, but it is so weird. And now the people who are dead asleep are on the wrong side or moving in that direction. But the people who are awake are very awake. They're like, I think this is evil. Oh, you mean you disagree with the people? No, I think this is evil. You know, there's no real, you know, I listen to these people that are, you know, talking about the Palestinians, and there's, you know, there's the ones who say, river to the sea, kill all the Jews. And then there are the reasonable ones who are like, look, we just want no Jew to live in this area.
Yeah, maybe they can all go back to Poland.
Right. I mean, do we have to kill them all? I don't know. I'm kind of out on that.
Right.
You know, so there's that back and forth, you know, and that wide, diverse kind of...
It's like the diversity in the Democrat Party that goes all the way from socialists to communists.
Yeah,
it's like that kind of diversity.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's a big tent.
It is a very big tent. It's a very big tent. So, by the way, on tomorrow's television program, a show that, I don't know, Stu, would you say we're concerned about it all?
You know, Glenn, I am unaware as to anything that's going to be on the show tomorrow.
But you're so deeply involved in it.
I'm not.
I don't know anything.
I don't have any
really?
Idea what's even happening. So therefore, like, for example, if there was a legal action taken, I would not be involved in it. I'm involved.
Can I tell you something? Who's going to come on and actually promote the show in about an hour? We have an attorney coming on.
Okay.
To actually promote the show and tell you what we're doing tomorrow.
Normally the hosts would do the promotion.
Yeah, but the host might not be entirely accurate. And you know what? The opinion of the host may not be the same as the opinion of the show that's on
not
a network.
Necessarily
that is not
reflecting.
Necessarily reflecting of the network or, you know, Glenn Beck, Stu Bregeer, any of our writers, anybody. We don't know how this show got on the air. We don't. It's happening tomorrow. And let me read this very carefully. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like our election is more secure this year than it was in 2020 or 2022? Voter confidence is at dangerous lows. One ABC poll revealed that only 20% trust America's voting system. 20%. This week on, they say it's my Wednesday night special, but I wouldn't categorize this as my Wednesday. It's a Wednesday night special.
It's on Wednesday.
It is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you the why America has lost faith in our elections. The craziness that happened in 2020 is now being pursued at the federal level. I'll show you what's going on. Weirdness going on in every alphabet agency, including the USDA and Social Security. They're all out drumming up new voters. Something that the White House will not divulge to even Congress. But anybody holding them in contempt? That's outrageous. What's next? You're gonna protest that Mr. Hoffenschnagel is getting an award? This week's show, a little different. Got a tip on something very, very odd. It's something that we have spent a couple of months researching, making sure. It's a vulnerability on the electronic side of our voting system. Now, that has been alleged, and the allegation has made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And this little piece of that case that was just heard in front of the Supreme Court a couple months ago is out in the public record. And so when we found out about it, we began to look into it, and it's very disturbing. Why haven't you heard about this? I mean, all I want is a secure election. I think that's all that you want. I think that's all that, you know, your regular Democratic neighbor
wants, just fair. I think you deserve to know about it. I'm going to reveal that alleged vulnerability. I don't know how it's alleged, but I don't know anything about the show anyway. Alleged vulnerability this week. I'm going to reveal the video of someone demonstrating that alleged vulnerability. This is, I think, a 90-minute broadcast. No idea if we can broadcast it any place other than the Blaze. If it is, it's probably going to be removed. I'm not sure if we were going to try. It's a 90-minute special version of the Wednesday night special you do not want to miss. We could really use your support on this one. We'd really appreciate it if you subscribe to The Blaze. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. This one has been extraordinarily expensive. And if people take my words and they twist them, it's trouble. It's trouble because we live in a very litigious society.
I don't think there's any evidence that's ever happened to you before. You know, people twisting never words? Seem to twist your words for, you know, some sort of negative impact on your life.
No.
So again, whatever the show is on Wednesday, which I'm not familiar with because I was not involved in any way.
I'm just reading this from the attorneys. Right, I don't even know what they're talking about. Okay. I'm just reading. It's a 90-minute special version of the Wednesday night special that you don't want to miss. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code SECURE2024. We are not just going to show you the problem. The solution is there. And we just need you to know about it and spread the word. There's action on this one. This is not something you're going to watch and go, oh, well, thanks for telling me that. Now what? There's real action that can be taken on this one to secure 2024. You'll get $30 off your subscription. blazetv.com/Glenn. Promo code SECURE2024.
Remember when we had confidence in our elections?
Yeah.
That they were safe and secure?
Yeah.
And valid?
Yeah.
And now...
Nobody does. Democrats don't.
Yeah.
Republicans don't. Who believes this? This is really, really dangerous. And you know what bothers me? I am so sick and tired of hearing about... Well, the safety and security of the nation is at stake. We are all lights are flashing red, just like on 9/11. By the way, borders completely secure. By the way, we don't know who's in the country. You know, hey, I just found this picture of 180 people that came through that are on the terrorist watch list. But we're serious about your security.
No, they're not. Mm.
We're serious about making sure that the integrity of the voting system is there. Then tell me, why can my bank transfer? I could go into my bank if I had, you know, $500,000 in the account. And I could go, you know what? I want to send this to Fargo, North Dakota, to Bill's Bank of North Dakota. And they would say, well, what's the number? And you'd give them the number, and they would take $500,000 and they'd put it on what they like to call the wire, and they wire transfer that to North Dakota. And Bill calls up and he's like, I call, and I'm like, Bill, call me as soon as you get that because I don't trust this system. And he calls me right up and he's like, Glenn, we got the $500,000. You know, here in North Dakota, if you ever need it, somehow or another, we have the technology to do that securely. But we haven't figured out yet how to send your choice for president securely yet. That's weird.
Although we had at one point we did have. Oh, remember with paper ballots, you would find out that night. Somehow we wrote it down. Somebody counted it, and then we quickly got the results.
As soon as they started...
Now it's electronic, and it takes months.
As soon as they started telling us, well, you know, we might not know that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was born in 1964.
Yeah.
where I think they were using an abacus. And we always knew the first night. Always. I mean, unless it was really, really super tight. Now it's like, Chicago is still counting. It's been 1,400 weeks. But we think we can tell you now, Ford may have won the election against Carter. We're not sure yet, but we'll get back to you in a few weeks. It's that bad.
It is. It is. I mean, Kennedy beat Nixon by, what, one vote or something in every precinct?
Yeah.
I think it was a vote per precinct average. And we knew, I think the next night, the next day. It wasn't something that they sweated over for weeks, that's for sure. So how did we know that in 1960 and we can't do it today in 2024?
Yeah, incredible. Especially with all of our technology. And you know what's really super, super exciting is I'm to the point now where I just want my thumbprint to be my vote, you know, and not an electronic. Mm. I'd like to take like a little piece of paper and say, who do you want for president? Put your thumbprint on the face of the president. We make it very, very easy. Mm. And then you go in and you stick your thumb in a bottle of, let's say, purple ink. And you put your thumb in, I want that one. And you turn it in. And we know you can't vote a second time because you have purple ink on your thumb. Now, I got this system from the very, very sophisticated minds in Iraq. I mean, I'd rather have that system.
Yeah. It seemed to work pretty well.
Well, the problem here is it would be racist if we asked people to show us your thumb. So is your thumb. What, I now need to show some identification?
You're asking, what about the thumbless?
Thumbless. What about
in our
those?
Society?
What if I can't show point. It to you? Mm. It's like racism.
The unthumbed.
Yeah. There's a lot of those. A
lot
people.
Of unthumbed out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
They can't of, vote all of a sudden. What about access?
Unfortunately for Republicans, most of them vote Democrats. So.
And what? Only primates can vote now? Is that the deal? Mm, is that what we're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly wrong. A good point
that's
there.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right. Solved another problem in the world. Back with more in just a second. Thank you, Pat. This is it. The moment you've been dreading your whole life. It's arrived. You got to act fast for your own sake. Then your family. Food. You need food.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, my gosh. Grandpa, we've been snowed in. And there's no way to dig ourselves out. I know you open up the window and it looks like we're not snowed in. It looks like it's actually kind of nice spring day outside, but we all have to stay in and just eat all day. So we have food. Look, when something bad actually happens, you're going to want the food. Your supply should be in reach. Grab and go at a moment's notice in case something happens and you have to get out, or something happens and you have to stay in. MyPatriotSupply.com. Start with a 4-week emergency food kit. It provides 2,000 calories every day. All the food is protected, heavy-duty 4-layer packaging, and it will last 25 years in storage. I can tell you that I just feel differently when I read commercials. Sometimes there's periods where I go through, like right now with My Patriot Supply, and also with Lear with Gold. That I'm telling you right now, I feel it with everything in me. I wish I could verbalize in such a way the importance of you being prepared more than just the commercial that says, go to My Patriot Supply. You please be prepared. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com. Get as many food kits as your family needs right now, $50 off. It's MyPatriotSupply.com.
You're listening to the swinging sounds of Glenn Beck. Sit tight, boys and girls. We'll be right back after these messages.
Could you put up full screen number 7, or I think this is maybe a video, cut number 7. This is Yaleys at Yale blocking entrance.
What is the best Jew? Like,
no authority.
They're all. Listen to this. They're singing.
It's incredible.
We are gonna block a Jew or something like that. I couldn't understand the lyrics.
No, it was funny. It was we. I mean, obviously you know this, but it was we will not be moved.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and they're moving.
They're moving to prevent the movement of a Jew.
Right.
That, as they're singing this peaceful protest
it is
song.
So crazy. It's so okay. You know, it's weird. In the archives, look at this. This is kind of same thing. This is. The Nazis hand in hand to prevent a Jewish student from entering the building.
Huh.
They will not be moved. Raus! Raus! So it's...
You're
it's,
a little too good at that.
My last name is Beck.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Although there was a good Beck, a General Beck over there that was really good, you know, stood up, tried to actually kill Hitler. I'm really positive I'm related to him. I don't know for sure because I've never wanted to look into it, but I'm sure that's the family that I come from.
Of course.
Either that or the side that was just sniveling cowards.
More likely, yeah, that's for sure.
Probably the general.
Yeah,
probably
no. General.
Nope. The Glenn Beck Program.